Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And last week, we had David Walker on. Guess who's back with me again this week? David Walker. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be back.
Well, you know, it's springtime across the country, and you guys as pros have been fishing since January. But most of the country, the rest of the country, now really in the throes of bass fishing season. And, you know, I know you came from Michigan, so they really don't even get started till June. But as you look at what's going on now, you know, for the spring season, a lot of guys are getting ready to go out there. And, you know, maybe a first thing I'd talk about is, you know, as you're going out the first trip of the year, you know, water's in the low 50s, some of those kind of things. Maybe give a few tips, if you could, about maybe looking for that first fish you're going to catch of the year.
Well, springtime is usually a shallow water time of year. You know, the fish are going to be up and spawning. They got spawning on their mind. So that's something that's going to be, you know, around the banks, around whatever cover they may have. And so that's generally where you're going to look, is fishing the banks, you know, back in the creeks where the water's warming up, little protected areas, things like that. You know, something, the north side of the lake usually warms up faster than the south side. And, you know, sunny areas versus the shady spots. And so that's where you're going to start looking at. And if the fish kind of get past that, then you kind of move around the lake and just kind of follow that spawn cycle around the lake, because not every fish on the whole lake is going to spawn at the same time. So spawning is something that, you know, it'll last you a month.
Well, the bass fishermen, you know, everybody thinks, oh, I got to fish spawning season. You know, that's when I really want to go out there. That's when we got that big female. You might catch that fish of a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
But in reality, it can be pretty tough, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, really, the spawning time of year is when everybody wants to fish, just like you said, you know, and it is when the fish are the biggest. But it's also one of the most difficult times to find fish and stay with them, because fish really move a lot in the spawn. There's a lot of variables going on there, water temperature and clarity. You know, cold fronts move in and just shut them down, and things like that aren't nearly as big a deal when summer and fall comes around. Even wintertime, that's my favorite time of year, is fishing the fall of the year. That's there's a lot fewer people on the water. A lot of guys are out hunting and things like that, or they've already went fishing. They kind of got the boats put up for the wintertime. Fall of the year for me is my favorite time. You know, fall in the shad around the lake, fish are really feeding up. They're eating, you know, spinner baits and crank baits, buzz baits, all kinds of baits that, you know, mimic shad. And that's a lot of fun. It's a good time of year to fish for me. But like you say, most people are out on the lake this time of year, spawning, looking for bedding fish, trying to catch that big fish. But I think if they was to give maybe that same effort put in this fall, they might really like the outcome, might have a different outlook on what it is to look for the next year.
Well, you jump in that big Ranger, you get ready to go, and, you know, you're starting to think about getting that boat ready. You know, a lot of guys, they put that boat away in the winter. They may get it winterized, whatever. You know, if you're in a central part of the country, a lot of times that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. But you're jumping into that boat, and maybe if you could give me a couple of tips. You know, when you get in that boat the first time, you don't want to just jump out there and not check that boat out, do you?
No. If your boat has been put up for the wintertime, you're going to want to, it's a lot of stuff you're going to have to do. You have to make sure about your batteries, your fuel, you know, oil. There's a lot of maintenance involved there. I mean, if you go and get it from the dealer and he's already got it ready to go, most of the times you get down in the water, there's still some little something there that isn't quite working, or isn't working like you remembered it was anyway. But yeah, you need to go down there and check out everything. Check out your electronics, make sure the pumps are all working right. You know, just turn the stuff on even before you get to the lake. Don't get to the boat ramp and realize the cranking battery is dead. That make for a terrible outing right there to start off the day like that, you know, or the season for that matter. But just try everything out in the boat. You know, turn the trolling motor on, turn the depth finders on, turn them on and off. Make sure everything's working before you ever get down to the lake. You know, make sure your life jackets are in there. You know, all your stuff from last year. There's a lot of stuff that you need in the boat, your throwables, things like that, that you may not think of. But if you leave them in there for the winter, they're probably still going to be in there. But check them out. Just make sure everything's still in working order before you ever get down to the lake. And don't just hope everything's working when you get there, because many times it won't be, you know, and just take care of that stuff, you know.
Well, let's talk about, you know, you now we're in these high-performance motors, and we've got all this high-performance equipment. You know, 10 years ago, you don't even think about GPS, but now you're thinking about that. Most of the depth finders are coming equipped for that. You know, you got
exactly,
high-performance motors and stuff like that. You got to look at those as well.
Oh, yeah. Like mine, I have a Evinrude direct injection, and it's really much simpler than what I used to have to deal with before. You know, the older motors that are carbureted, things like that, you know, they're harder to start when it's cold. Now it's turnkey. Well, in that new Ranger, it's not even a key anymore. It's a push button start. So anymore when I go down to the lake. But I don't have to worry about winterizing because my boat's in the water about 20, 25 days out of the month. So I go down there and I push the button on it, Ranger, and the Evinrude fires up and away we go down the lake. So I don't have to worry about the winterizing deal. But there's a lot more to the 200 and 225s than maybe what you was dealing with your old 90s and things like that. I mean, you got to make sure your batteries have got to really be strong because it's a lot harder to start a motor of that size. And, you know, they need the more electronics that are involved in there, even like your GPSs and things like that. There are a lot more, you know, the Lowrance GPS that I have an X15, which is a color GPS, fish finder, depth finder, finds everything. That thing there, compared to the flashers that I used to use years ago, it's an altogether different unit. And, you know, it's something I take off the boat, protect it from the elements, because it's not, you know, there's a lot more electronics in there. Anybody that deals with computers knows that, you know, there's a little more care involved with them, keeping the screens clean and things like that. So
you get out and you get on the water, you know, and everything's supposed to be working right. You know, I got a big question. You know, you guys as pro fishermen, with the new Ranger, and you talked about the push button start, you've got a code you push in there. And one of the things I think is funny is I would almost bet you right now that 95% of the codes that you find out there are identical from when they come from the factory. I don't know very many guys that change that code, do you?
No, if you want to steal a Ranger, you just push 1, 2, 3, 4, and then there, start it up, away it'll go. But yeah, that's my code, as a matter of fact. But you can change the codes, and I think it's great. I mean, it's amazing how far the boats have come and the motors have come, the outboards, like the Evinrude with it. And then we have new technology coming out, E-Tech. And it's just amazing. It's like the cross between two-stroke and four-stroke. It's neither. And, you know, the advancements that even in electronics, it's amazing how much further they've come, how quickly. What the stuff's going to look like 10 years from now is just, I don't even try to guess it anymore. It's just amazing how quickly it's evolving and how much of that's becoming a part of our fishing.
Well, you got the equipment. You talk about the boat equipment, but also the rods and reels. You've got rods and reels that don't hardly weigh anything. You know, a guy goes out, used to have big, heavy rods, and used to think they're like a pool cue, you know, and you had this
exactly.
Big winch. Now everything's light. It has the same power, same ability to be able to set the hook on the fish, but they're light, compact, really able to do some things maybe we couldn't do before.
Exactly. Titanium, magnesium, those are products you've never heard of. If you think, okay, what a... You know, we're building some kind of space suit or something like this, you know, from down to the rain suits. Everything we have is so much more advanced, the technology that goes into it. Like you were talking about, the flipping stick, I use a G-Lumis GLX flipping stick. It weighs 5.5 ounces. Now, that's half of what the rod I used to use weighs. Now, where do you think that would play in? Well, it has a lot to do with the repetitive motion of like a flipping motion that I make all day long for 20 days out of the month. You know, you keep making that same motion over and over, and if you're lifting more weight to it, it's really going to start wearing on you, that repetitive motion. You know, you see people getting into about their keyboards, you know, they get the carpal tunnel and tendonitis from just being on the computers making that repetitive motion. And same holds true for us. We do a lot of the same movements over and over. The trolling motor I have now, my Ranger, it's got a recessed foot pedal. And the reason I have that is I can stand flat foot. I can stand on both feet now instead of standing on one foot. On a weekend fishing trip, when I used to stand on one leg, it'd be tiring, but it wasn't like now where I'm standing 3 weeks in a row on one leg. So now, with, you know, you move for those advantages. Even our new seats in the Ranger boat, it's got the spring ride suspension. You know, and that's awesome. It takes the edge off of the waves. You know, it just makes it, you know, it's going to save you in the long run. It, you know, better for your back.
Well, David, I appreciate you being with me. I've had you on 2 weeks here, and I could have you on every week. You're a great, great talent, and I look forward to seeing you have the rest of the year of being a good one.
Well, thanks, Terry. Thanks for having me.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.